Our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. This we'll be preaching from this morning. I've worked kind of hard to try to get this message shortened down a good bit. We don't want to wear you out, but we do want to give you a message from the book. Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You come to God's house, you need to hear God's words. For our text today, I've selected the Gospel of John, chapter 11. If you don't mind, let's stand and show respect to the reading of the Scriptures. This will be the text that we'll be looking at this Easter Sunday. Verse 23 says, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha replies, Jesus said unto him, Yea, Lord. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Let us pray. My Father, we're thankful for this great privilege of standing before this congregation this day. Good King, knowing that you could have chose anyone to come up and minister your word, but you've given me the great honor to do so this Sunday. And Father, we pray that you would just flood this place with the power of the Spirit. We pray also that you bind a strong man, that he not cause no disruption, so as to draw people away from what's been said. And Father, we pray that perhaps as we celebrate your resurrection this day, we pray that perhaps someone today will come to a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. We'll title this message just from the text that we read. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, when you get to studying the Gospel of John, there are seven I am statements that are mentioned in the Gospel of John. You've heard of all of them. I'll go ahead and tell you what they are. I preached a series on these back in 2002, I think it was. It's been a number of years since I've done this series. But they're all in the Gospel of John, called the I am statements of Christ. I am the bread of life, chapter 6, 35. I am the light of the world, chapter 8, verse 12. I am the door, chapter 10, verse 9. I am the good shepherd, chapter 10, verse 11. I am the resurrection of life, which we're looking at this morning. And 14:6, probably the most well known, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the last one, I am statement, is given in John 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine. That's seven I am statements. Now in our text that we're looking at today, I want you to notice two belief statements. I've seen this when I was studying on it. There's two statements that mentions believing. Now I want to tell you something before I get on this subject of believing. When we talk all the time about people need to believe in God, and that's exactly is true. But it's more than believing that there is a God. Amen. The creation itself is evidence that there's a God. And the greatest evidence that there's a God is the Bible. That's the greatest evidence that there's a God. But to believe in God means to trust Him as your Savior. There's a lot of people that believe that there's a God, but at the same time, they've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Do you see where I'm coming from? Just because you believe that there's a God that exists, just because you believe that there's a God that created all things, that's not salvation. Salvation is trusting that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on Calvary for you and then rose again the third day. And when you receive that message, that's what washes your sins away and gives you life's greatest possession. Do you know what life's greatest possession is? Eternal life. Eternal life. There is nothing more of value than having eternal life. The richest man in this world, if he doesn't have eternal life, doesn't really have anything that's going to last. The rich people are those that trust Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul said that he was poor. That's what he said. He said, I am poor, but I've made many rich. How does a poor man make someone rich? Paul had the gospel message. And what he did is he shared that gospel message with many. And when they trusted Jesus, they became rich. All God's people say it. All right, two believe statements in this text. Here's the first one in verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, now here's the first one, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I want you to think about what that's saying. What he's referring to here is to the resurrection. When he says, I am the resurrection, and then he makes the first belief statement, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, or though he dies, yet shall he live. That's a great statement, isn't it? That's a tremendous statement when you look at it. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He's referring to the resurrection. Of course, in John chapter 11, what's going on in this particular text is Mary and Martha had their husband, not their husband, but their brother had died. And he had been in the tomb for how many days? 4 days. And what's going to happen in this great text is he's going to be made alive. He's going to be called back to life in it. So that's the reason why in this particular text, Jesus said, I am the what again? I am the resurrection. If you believe on me, he says, and you die, yet shall you live. One of the hardest things to do is to go to a graveside, don't you think? Somebody in your family passes, and then you at the end of the service, in many cases, you go to the graveside, and that's a sad thing. Well, this verse is for you. This Jesus gave this verse to comfort you and to strengthen you during such times. He said, I am the resurrection. And if you believe on me and you die, yet you shall live. Now, what's that talking about? It means to live in a body. It means to live in the body. When someone knows Jesus and they die, the day they die, their spirit leaves their body. And the Bible says to be, when you're saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But guess what they don't have right now? They don't have a body. And what he's saying, this is why it's such a great text. What he's saying is, if you live, if while you live, you believe on me, and you die, you shall live. That means one of these days that you're going to get a new body, a body that's incorruptible, a body that won't sin, a body that won't age, and a body that will never die. That's a glorious thing. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Where will you go when you die? That's the most important question to be able to answer. Where will you go when you die? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 23 says this. It says, every man in his own order. Now I want you to listen to this. Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at His coming. Now, if you go back in the New Testament, you can see several people that Jesus raised from the dead, raised Lazarus from the dead, widow's Nain's son from the dead, Jairus' daughter from the dead. But they all did what? They all died again. When Jesus says that He's the first fruits, He's the first to resurrect, never to die again. Now, I want you to read this verse, list this verse one more time. Every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Afterwards. You know when the afterwards is? It goes down to Jesus coming. Afterwards, those who are Christ at His coming. So you get the first belief statement. He that believes in me and he dies, what's going to happen? He's going to live. One of these days, they're going to get a body. If I die today, my spirit would go off to be with Jesus. But when Jesus comes again on that day. That's called the first resurrection. On that day, old Jeff Arthur's going to get a body. A new one. Our loved ones who've been placed in the ground or whatever, wherever they've been placed at, and they knew Jesus, they're with Jesus now. And when Jesus comes again, there's going to come a resurrection, and they're going to have a body, a new body. Isn't that a glorious thing to think about? Can you imagine what a day that'll be? I've said this many times in preaching, and I'm going to say it one more time here this morning. I'd love to be doing a service. I'd love to be doing a funeral service at the Haven of Rest, at the graveyard down there, and Jesus come. Can you imagine all of them opening up? And out of there comes forth all of those people. Well, actually, their body's going to come out there. They've been with the Lord, but it's going to be reunited with the Spirit in the clouds. And that's going to be the great reunion day. That's why it's so great being saved. So that's the first belief statement. He that believeth in me and dies, yet shall he do what? He's going to live. He's going to get a new body. Here's the second belief statement in the text, John chapter 11. Notice verse, let me get back there. John chapter 11 and verse 26. John chapter 11, verse 26. And whosoever liveth. You see, the other belief statement was about dying. If you believe in me and you die, you shall live. The second statement is whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Well, there'll be a group of people. There'll be a generation of people that don't die. Did you hear what I just said? There will be a generation of people that won't die. Whosoever liveth and believeth on me, what's it say? They're not going to die. Would you like to go in that generation? I would. And you want to know a little something that could happen today? Jesus could step out, the dead rise first. But then those who live and believe on Him, they're never going to die. What's going to happen to them? They're going to be translated. They're going to be taken up. Boy, I'd like to have that happen. I'd like to hear the trumpet sound. The dead in Christ rise first. And then we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Now I want you to hear this now. They will be caught up. Caught up together. What's the next part of that? Caught up together with them in the clouds. Old timers used to call that the happy reunion day. And you'll be back together. I mean, God's people never say goodbye for the last time. There's been many a time I put a saint of God in the ground, their bodies anyhow, and I look down over after she's all done and covered up and things, and I say, I'll see you later. That's one of the great things about being saved. That's one of the great things about being born again. You got those two belief statements? He that believeth me and dies, yet shall he live. He's going to resurrect one of these days. He that believes in me and lives shall never die. It's basically saying the same thing that 1 Thessalonians 4 says. Glorious text. It's a glorious text. Let's go back to John chapter 11 now. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes on me shall never die. Now I want you to notice what Jesus said in the second part of verse 26. Believest. Hear me. Believest thou this? That's the question. That's the question that he asked in the text. If you live and believe on me, you'll never die. If you die and believe on me, you'll be resurrected one day. Think about it. Now he asked her, believest thou this? Now what's her response? She said, yes, Lord. Here's what I want you to do here today. If you've never trusted Jesus, here's what I want you to do today. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. That's called a profession. Let me say, that's called a profession of faith. And the word believe here, again, means to trust in Him. She said, yes, Lord, I trust that thou art the Christos. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. That should come into the world. Think about it. That's a profession of what again? Can I ask you a question? Have you ever made a profession of faith in Jesus? I'm not asking you, do you ever heard the name of Jesus? But I'm asking you, have you ever made a profession? See, that was personal with Martha. You got to make it personal with you. There's a lot of people that know that Jesus is the Savior, but at the same time, they've never trusted Him. Martha trusted Him. She believed that He was the Christ, that He was the Savior, that He was the Redeemer. And she's with the Lord today, isn't she? You need to have the same thing. Now, beloved, let's just think about this thing just a little bit. You ain't going to be here real long, no matter how how you slice it. I don't know what your ages are. Don't want to know. I'm 57. But the Scripture says your average lifespan is 70. It's just 70 years. I've told you 1,000 times but years ago. Man, when you're a teenager, 70 years is like 7,000 years. Boy, you hit 57, you're thinking, oh. Just another, hey, there's how I view it, beloved. Here's how I look at aging now. When you have a profession like Martha had, I'm just another day closer to paradise. They used to do me like that on the dock, didn't they, Stewie? Don't you remember that? They'd say, hey, preacher, how you doing up there today? I'd say, hey, boys, I'm another day closer to paradise. That aging's a horrible thing without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of your days. Do you not agree with me? I mean, how horrible would it be? How kind of life is it? I mean, think, what is the great big American hope anyhow? The big American hope is to make good money, get a lot saved back, and then do what? Then what do? What's that big thing we live for? It's called retirement, isn't it? Then we retire. And then I've heard people say, well, he's got a great retirement. He's set for, you remember, he's set for life. Let me tell you something. If you ain't set, if you ain't set for death, you ain't set for life. You got to be set by trusting Christ. You got to be in Him. You got to have everlasting life. You got to have victory over sin, death, and hell. And we sing the song, Victory in Jesus, and He gives you the victory. He won the victory 2,000 years ago by dying and rising again. And when you trust Him, He gives you the victory. Oh, God's people say it. You need that. You need that. You're not successful if you die and go to hell at the end of your days. You're not successful if you die and go to hell at the end of your days. You need what I'm talking about today. All right, let's go back to our text. I'm going to try to wind this down now. Let's move down to verse 39. Down to verse 39. John 11:39. Now remember what we showed you so far. I give you two belief statements. He that believes in me and dies, he shall live. He that believes on me and lives shall never die. Same thing 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is saying. Now you know what Jesus is going to do now? He's going to illustrate it. He's going to illustrate how He's over death and stronger than death. He's going to illustrate it for you right here. Let's notice it. Let's notice in the Gospel of John chapter 11. Let's begin at verse 38. Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. Now get this in your mind. Get this picture in your mind. I mean, here's these Jews, they're crying. Mary and Martha is crying because they missed her brother. He had been in the tomb 4 days. He had been in the tomb 4 days. He's going to illustrate his power over death and his ability to bring back and his ability to resurrect. Jesus said, look at verse 39, take away the stone. Push that thing back out of the way. Think about it. Push it back out of the way. Now, Jesus could have done it himself just by his power, but he wanted them to push it back out of the way so they could see what was getting ready to happen. Notice what happens. It says, verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinks. He stinketh. That's what the King James says, but by now he's got the smell. He's been in there for 4 days. You don't want to roll that rock back now. He stinks. Jesus said, said I not unto thee that if you would believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. And because of the people which stand by here this day may believe that thou hast sent me. Now watch this, beloved. And when he had thus spoken, what did he do? He said, what? Lazarus. Lazarus. Come forth. Old time preacher, you say if he just said come forth, he'd have emptied everything in the world. All the graves in the world would have been emptied. I thought that was pretty cool. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what? And there he that was dead came forth. He that was dead did what? Came forth. And he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. What did Jesus do? He resurrected him. He taught them. He taught them. He just got through teaching them that he was able. If you believe on him and you die, you shall live. You're going to get a body. And he showed you how hard that is to bring one back to life. Wasn't a bit of trouble, was it? And one of these days, beloved, he's going to do that again. On a worldwide scale. The Bible says there's two resurrections. There's a resurrection of the just, which means the resurrection of the saved, and then there'll be a resurrection of the lost. One's called the first resurrection. The other's called the second resurrection. Which one do you want to go in? You want to go in the first. The second resurrection is called the resurrection of the damned. You want to go in the resurrection of the just. You want to go in the resurrection of those that have trusted Jesus as your Savior. Let's go back to our text now, and I'm going to wind this up. Verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth, I want you to get this, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now listen what she does. She saith unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the Lord. Can I ask you a question today? Believest thou this? Congregation could be divided up under those who believest thou this and those who do not believe thou this. You see how easy he can call someone forth from the grave. One day he's going to do it on a worldwide scale. Whenever he comes again, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ rise, what's it say? The dead in where? The dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's why we sing the song, Victory in Jesus. How about you here today? Have you trusted Christ? Who you know Him? Are you thinking about Him? Do you think I'm nuts? I hope you don't, because what I told you was the truth. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, you don't have eternal life, but you're abiding under eternal death. Think about it. You need what Jesus purchased by dying and rising again. And you need that when? Now. Now. You don't wait till the end of the service to do it. Either two things is going to happen. Either you're going to die or either Jesus is going to come. You got to be ready either way. If I die, I'm ready to go. If Jesus comes, I'm ready to go. The main thing is to be ready to go. Will you not trust Jesus today? Will you not trust Jesus today? Well, me and Stewie witnessed to a man this week, 88 years old. 88 years old. And we used to load his truck, did we? We used to load his truck. And they called for me to come over and see him. I took Stewie with me because Stewie knew him. And here's what he told me. I witnessed to him. He said, "Jeff, I'm afraid I can't stick to it." I said, "Well, if it depended on you, nobody could stick to it. Ain't a soul could stick to it." Well, I'm telling you, he says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, let me ask you a question. Believest thou this? Do you believe if you call, if you realize you're a sinner, a transgressor of His law, and you call upon His name, do you believe He could save you? You know what that man did? He trusted Jesus. He asked the Lord to save him. 88 years old. Oh, my. Stewie floated out the front door. We was excited. But you can do the same thing. But the problem is, most people probably in this congregation knows what I'm telling you is the truth. And what you're doing every day of your life is gambling that your day doesn't come and Jesus doesn't come. Said it a bunch of times. The greatest gambler is not in Las Vegas. The greatest gambler is those that believe that there's a heaven and a hell. But gamble every day that there'll be another opportunity for them to believe. You need to trust Him today. You say, "Well, how do I know you're right?" Well, because I'm always right. No, I just teach you. When Jesus died on Calvary, close with this. When Jesus died on Calvary, He saved a man. He saved a man. And He did it because He knew so much false religion was going to come in and people would be confused and people wouldn't understand. So He saved a man. So you can look. I learned more by looking at a picture or by seeing an illustration. And the illustration is when Jesus died, there was a thief on both sides of Him. These men were sinners. These men had nothing to offer. These men were dying. One of them was convicted over their sin. And looked over after being a former mocker. Looked over and said, "Lord, I want you to do what again? I want you to remember me when you come. I want you to remember." He realized Jesus had a kingdom. He realized Jesus was a king. And then he said, "Lord, Lord, I want you to remember me when you get there." And Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Oh, God's people say. Paradise is another name for heaven, by the way. You can read it in Revelation 22, verse 3. It says the tree of life is in the paradise of God. He took him to heaven. What saved him? Jesus paid his sin debt.
Amen.
He paid it in what? Full. Paid it in full, right? What else did Jesus do for him? You don't ever miss this. He charged to him his righteousness. I'm going to tell you here, beloved, to go to heaven, it takes 100% righteousness to get there. It leaves everybody here today, including me, out. We always say there's been only one righteous man, and that one righteous man was Jesus. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, here's what salvation looks like. You have your sin charged to Jesus who paid the price in full. But don't miss this. He takes His righteousness, and He charges that righteousness to you. That's why when you read the book of Revelation, everybody in heaven has on a white robe. And that white robe is a picture of the righteousness of Christ. Matthew 6:33, hear this last statement. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. First in priority. Seek ye first His kingdom. And to have His kingdom, it says, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. How much does it take to get there? 100%. And the only way you can get that 100% is in Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you. Thank you for your attention.